Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Well, while we're on the theme of Royal Ascot, and of course you can watch all the action of Royal Ascot tonight on racing.com. Stay up and watch it. Unfortunately, there is no Australian representation, but if we go back through the annals of history, Australians have dominated the Royal Ascot meeting, especially in the early 2000s. Schwarzia led the way, and then it was the fairy tale story of Takeover Target. And the former cabbie, Joe Janiak, and it is great to catch up with Joe this morning to relive some of those wonderful tales over at Royal Ascot, which culminated in Joe meeting the Queen as well. Joe, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Very well, thank you.
Good to chat to you. What are you up to these days, Joe?
I'm sort of semi-retired and spending most of my time up the Sunshine Coast or Coffs Harbour.
Oh, beautiful. You're still following racing and you got a few shares in horses at the moment, do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm breeding a couple myself. And, yeah, I've still got interest in half a dozen horses here there, but they're mainly just country horses at the moment. Nothing outstanding.
Well, that's where it all started all those years ago with a very special horse. Before we get to that victory in 2006 and the subsequent performances, just a look back on where it all began and how you found Takeover Target in that online auction and ended up paying, I think, $1,250 plus GST for him. How did it all come about?
Oh, it's probably one of the luckiest stories in horse racing. I had a couple of $1,000 in spare at the time, and I thought, oh, well, I'll go to one of those side horse sales. And I picked half a dozen horses out that I thought had some sort of a chance around the country. But unfortunately, I didn't have enough money to buy them, or I found something wrong with them. And along came Target, and then I sort of looked at him. I couldn't see too much wrong with him. And I put my hand up to, I bid $800 and just about had him for $800. And the auctioneer yelled out, he said, oh, he said, this horse's got to be worth more than that. He said, he just won a barrier trial at Rose Hill. So a few other country trainers got involved and bid me right up to $1,250 for him. And, there was a story behind him that the previous owners had just spent $70,000 on vet bills on him because he'd had a lot of problems. And they were advised by the vet to cut their losses. The vet didn't think the horse would ever make it to the racetrack. And they decided to sell him on his advice. And if I had known what his problems were, I wouldn't have put my hand up either. But it was just one of those lucky things that happened.
He was beautifully bred, and with those injuries, when you got him back home, was he sound from day one? Did you have to do much with him?
Mate, he was never sound in all his life. I got my vet to check him out when I got him back home, and he nodded his head, and he said, eventually, he said, I think the vet in Sydney's right. He said, like you said, I think you've bought yourself a dud here. He said, I don't think you'll ever make it to the racetrack either. And I said, what do you think I should do? And he said, well, he said, if I were you, he said, I'd throw him in the paddock for 6 months and then bring him back and say, well, what can we do with him? And that's exactly what I did. Got him 6 months in the paddock, brought him back. He was a cantankerous horse. I found out later on that you couldn't tie him up. His head's strong. And when I did tie him up, he reared up and struck me and put 30 stitches in the head. And, bit by bit, I found out all these bad problems, but eventually, instead of being cruel to him, I killed him with kindness, and he came around, and he was like the best pet in the stable.
Unbelievable. Well, he won his first seven, culminating in the Group 1 Challenger. But before that first campaign, Did you and Jay Ford know that you had something special?
No, not really. Jay had ridden he was an apprentice at the top, first off and down at Canberra Way. And he rode his first winner for me down there at Queanbeyan. And the guy that I had riding track work for me at the time, he was supposed to ride him in his first race, and he told me a week before that he couldn't make the weight. And I was stuck. I couldn't get a jockey anywhere. So I got this phone call from Sydney, and The guy said, oh, he said, there's a kid up here. He said, he rides pretty good. He said, but he doesn't got many opportunities. He said, then he said, give him any chance. I said, yeah, I'll send him down, see what he can do. And well, I gave the horse some chance because his work was good. And from there on in, yeah, like he won his first race by 7 lengths. And we just formed a good partnership. Jay got to know the horse pretty well. I got offered plenty of opportunities, different jockeys ringing up trying to ride him, but I thought, well, while he's winning on him and doing the right thing, why should I take him off? So we kept him on all the way.
And you offered some big money to sell him as well?
At his second start, we took him to Wagga, the town plate day, and he ran a better time than what they did in the town plate. I think he won by 6 or 7 lengths down there. And by the time the jockey dismounted, we'd been offered 80,000 for him, which was unreal. Lady, my kid said, oh, we'll sell him and we'll get a car each out of this. And then we won a couple of races in Sydney. We took him to Gosford for the pay setters and then to the Ramorny at Grafton. You know, he was four wide in that race and won pretty convincingly. And then we got offered $1 million for him. And Mikey said, Mikey said, we'll definitely sell him now. He said, we'll be driving around in Lamborghinis now. unfortunately for me, the sale fell through because he wouldn't pass the vet inspection. And so we got stuck with him.
Well, and the ride of a life, which after the Salinger, he comes back, he races well throughout the major sprints. He wins the Lightning, he runs third in the Oakley Plate, he wins the Newmarket, and then you set off for Royal Ascot. How long had you been thinking about Royal Ascot, or was it an invitation after winning the Newmarket that set you headed for the UK?
Yeah, it was after the Newmarket. Nick Smith, the representative of the Queen, was there, and he came and invited us to go to Ascot. And like I never thought of that in my wildest dreams, that the horse would be anyway good enough to travel. So I hummed and hard. I'd never travelled to horse that far before in my life. And I ended up ringing Paul Perry, who happened to... Winwich was here the year before, and I said, now, do you think I'm having myself on anything about this? He said, no. He said, what the horse had been doing? He said, I'd take it up and have a go at it. So, and on his advice, we decided to start making arrangements and thinking about it, and away we went.
And this is what he did in the King's Stand of 2006.
On the near side, Takeover Target takes it up now from Lazark. Then Baldy King is battling on. Dandy Man's in front on the far side. There's two fallers here, but it's Takeover Target near side being swamped now. Ben Bourne flashing home. Dandy Man the far side, they hit it. Takeover Target in a photo with Dandy Man the far side, Ben Bourne the near side.
There were 28 runners in the King's Stand that year for a cabbie from Queanbeyan in top hat and tails. What was that moment like?
I remember the top hat and tails. I looked like a little Humpty Dumpty. but I suppose, you know, once you're there, everyone else dressed the same way. So after a while, you get used to it there. Yeah, but it was a tremendous thrill, you know, and to be able to win first up like that was just unbelievable.
Do you remember the build-up and, I suppose, the reception afterwards? Because you became a cult hero overnight.
Yeah, we settled into Newmarket pretty good. There were great people there. We got to pretty friendly with the public and me. The wagon and horse and all the trainers and stable staff and that. Now we've settled in really good there. And great experience. We've been back there what, four times after that. And we were hoping to go back again this year because of the virus. But we might try and get there next year.
And what was the secret to traveling?
Pardon?
I was going to say, what's this? What was the secret to travelling him? Because he never ran worse than fourth, and he had six starts over 3 years over there. We know he went to Japan and won Singapore as well. So he was truly a globetrotter. What was his great secret in your travelling?
It's a lot of hard work. I was lucky the first time I went over there with IRT. I forget the chap's name, but he said to me, he showed me, he said, you know, he said, I like your horses. I'll show you how to look after him. He said, but he said, you're going to be worn out, but at least your horse is going to end up over there in good condition. And as soon as you take off, you sort of have to go down and take the front off his box and let him lead off the floor. Taking his temperature and getting plenty of water up to him and knock you up and down like a yo-yo all the time. I was really worn out by the time I got to England, but the horse was in good condition, and that was the main thing. And, because he wasn't a big horse, but he was solid, and I used to always split the box instead of having three horses in the box. We used to only put two in and give them more room to move around. And, it took a lot of precautions, but eventually I sort of got to know, and he was a good traveller. And, and we didn't have much trouble with him whatsoever.
Well, he became a hero over there. There was a bar named after him at Royal Ascot because, as I said, he went back in subsequent years and he wasn't able to win, but he finished second in two occasions. He finished fourth on the other occasions, never further back than fourth, and he did the double each and every year of running in the King's Stand and the Golden Jubilee. So he was just an iron horse when it came to the Royal Ascot Carnival.
He was, yeah, and people over there just idolised him there. And there is a bar at Ascot named after him. And, we've had a lot of good memories from Newmarket. And it's horse's heaven. It's just a beautiful place to train a horse.
And one of his biggest fans was Her Majesty the Queen. What was it like spending time with the Queen?
Well, I was very nervous. I asked a few people what the procedure is for meeting the Queen, and even Nick Smith, who invited us over there, I asked him, and he works for the Queen. He said, don't ask me. He says, I've worked for her for 15 years. He says, I've never met her. He says, I'll take all my workload off the phone, and I said, I'll just do as I'm told. And then I ran into Sir Michael Stout, who trains for the Queen, and he said, oh, she's no worries. She said, she's just good as gold. You know, she's lovely to get on with. And which I found out when we met. It was, she knows her horses very well. Luckily, the day I met her, she just won the first race there with a horse that she bred herself. A horse called Dr. Fong, and by was an Australian. And we started talking about horses, and now she's just a lovely, lovely person.
Did you spend much time with her?
Well, we watched one race. I think she won the first. We watched the second race together, and their horse was in the third, so I had to excuse myself and go and saddle up.
Were you able to have a beer in up there with her in her box? Because you were in the royal procession as well.
No,
were you?
Never, no, it was only her and I there. There was not any bar there.
And you were in the royal procession as well?
No, I wasn't in the royal procession. No, I was looking after the horse.
There was a report saying that.
Yeah.
Well, no. Joe, what will you be doing? Will you be watching Royal Ascot from home this week?
Oh, I certainly will be, yes. Yeah.
Thinking of what might have been, and a lot of these stories do get embellished and blown up over the years, but yours has been one of the most talked about, and they call you the cabbie from Queanbeyan. And how long did you actually drive a taxi for?
For about 4 years. I was working in a bakery of a night time and doing my horses during the day, and I had a bad fall and I did my knee and my ribs and elbows in. I fell off a loading dock, and I was having a lot of problems, especially in the cold weather down there. So I decided to take up taxi driving at night. I didn't work a 14-hour shift at the night time. Turned the heater on and it was so much easier. And then still had time to do the horses during the day. And I sort of survived. I'm glad I'm not down there now. I wouldn't move. But mine is still something down in Canberra at the moment. So I'm glad I'm up here in the warmer weather. Makes life a lot easier.
Well, it shows dreams can come true in the racing game because he won. He won $6.3 million. How much did you have before Takeover came along?
I had the arse out of my pants, actually. That's all I had.
Unbelievable. And, of course, sadly, we lost him a few years ago, but he and yourself, he's a member of the Australian Racing Hall of Fame, will never be forgotten, as will you, Joe. And how is your health? How's everything at the moment? All good?
No, I've had my share of problems. I'm just recovering from a knee replacement. I've had a few heart issues over the last couple of years. But generally for my age, yeah, I'm still getting around all right. I'm not hands-on with the horses at the moment, but I hope to be. I've just renewed my licence, so hopefully this season I might get back into them. My son's training at the Gold Coast. He's got one or two there, and I might get back to Cross Harbour and just have one or two that I'm breeding myself and still keep going. Yeah, and Target, well, he this Sunday will be 6 years since we had to put him down.
Really?
So, yeah. But I know I'll never get one as good as him, but if I got one half as good as him, I'd be more than happy.
Absolutely. It'll be great to see Joe Jeniak's name back in the form guide, mate. So appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning and reliving some of the great deeds of Takeover, especially over at Royal Ascot. Good to catch up, Joe. Enjoy the week.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, it's good memories.